All right, so continuing from yesterday on Gimel and Beis in Sanhedrin. Okay, so the Gemara is trying to understand, trying to find the source for three judges from the Torah. Okay, so the Brisa says that it comes from repetition of the word Elohim three times. Or at least from the use of the word three times, right? In the parsha. That's Rabbi Yoshia, and Rabbi Yonason says that it's Rabbi Yonason says there's only two repetitions of the word, right? The first word, the first time it appears, is just for itself. It has to tell you who you go to. It has to tell you that you're going to a mumcha judge. And then the repetition is only the second two. So that's two. So where do you get three from? That we employ the rule of ain based in shakal. Let's take a look at Rashi again. So he says like this. Ain osin based in zugos. So we can't make basedin out of pears. Ditzarach lekayim bo, achare rabim lahatos. Okay, so that's a crucial pasuk. We spent time going through it last week, but that's what the Gemara is explaining over here. That there's a rule from achare rabim lahatos. That we can't have a basin shakal. When the Gemara says ain basin shakal, where is it getting that rule from? So that's what Rashi explains. That's what we had in the Mishnah, right? Ain basin shakal. Why? Because we have to be mekayim achare rabim lahatos. And if they disagree down the middle, ain kan rabim. So the pasuk says you need to go after the rov. The majority makes the decision. So if I have an even number of judges, it's possible to have an argument where there's no majority. 50-50. So that would be in violation. I would not be able to fulfill the rule of Acher Rav Lahatos. So because I know there's a rule of Acher Rav Lahatos, right? So then it turns out I can never have an even basin. And when the Torah says two judges, it must be that we have to add a third. But what does it mean? How does three come out? Three comes from a combination of the reference to two judges plus the rule of Acher Rav Lahatos. Okay? Yeah. So the question... Right, so the question, I mean, that always comes up in these types of drushos is, right, so is, you know, does, in the end of the day, as they say, you have three, right? But is that three different because it's composed of a combination of two and an Acher Rav Lahatos, or is there no difference? Three is three, right? So Aaron is suggesting what? That you could look at it like this. How could you look at it? You could look at it that the basin in some sense is really two. That's why the Torah says two. Basin in some sense is really two. But what? But you need... Yeah, go ahead. Finish it up.
You need a third this way.
You need a third to come out with a decision. Okay, we'll have to think about it. Let's leave it open. Let's go a little further. So that's who? That's the other guy. That's Rabbi Yonason. Okay. So now the Gemara is like this. So the Gemara says, let's say, name a bid darshan techilos kamiflagi. Let's say they're arguing. What's the machlokas? What's the machlokas? How's it go? What's the machlokas? It's on the face of it, it comes out that what? that Rabbi Yoshia is learning three references of Elohim, and Rabbi Yonasan is only learning two, right? And why? Because they're arguing about whether the first one is whether you can darshan the first one, or the first one just sets the stage, right? So that's called darshan tchilos. So maybe they're arguing about darshan tchilos. The marsava darshan tchilos, the marsava ain darshan tchilos. Right? What am I saying? Lo, kuli alma ain darshan tchilos. Everybody agrees you don't darshan tchilos. Amalach Rabbi Yoshia. So who's the question on? On Rabbi Yoshia. So the question is on Rabbi Yoshia. If you don't darshan tchilos, so then how does he darshan the first word? Amalach Rabbi Yoshia. Imkain name a krov and nikrov balabayas el hashofet. My el Elohim, shema mino leminyana. Im kain de lo lemidrashe asa lichtov el hashofet. So what does that mean? Right. In other words, when we say we don't darshan tchilos, it's because you need to give the basic information of the subject first. But that would have been accomplished by saying shofet, they go to a judge. Could have said judge.
The fact that
it used the same exact word that it didn't have to use means that you can that it's doing double time, right? So you can darshan it. If it was just because of the necessity, then it could have used the word shofet. That ain darshan tchilos is because of the necessity of the matter. You can't darshan something extra when it's necessary. You can't darshan something as extra when it's necessary. But the necessity would have only been shofet. Not the Elohim. Okay. There's a little bit of a problem with this, but I guess because Elohim you also learn Mumchen. I guess you could have learned it from the from those two also. Okay. So then what? So now it really is a good problem for Bionison, right? Rabbi Yonasan, Lishna da Alma Noka, Kid Amri Inshi, Mandis Ledina, Likari Vlagabi Dayana, Eitzel Dayan Harogel, Velo Eitzel Hejot. So he's saying it's just like the Pasuk just took the Lashon Adam. Right?
Didn't mean anything special.
But it's not choosing it. It's just saying when the guy says, where are you going to go? We'll go to the expert. The guy always says he wants to go to the expert. It's not something that to darshan. All right, difficult machlokas. I don't know.
What I don't get is
In other words, Elohim versus shofet is like we were saying before. Elohim implies an expertise, godless, gedula and rabbonus. Shofet is just the function of judgment. So that was Rav Yoshi's argument. All it had to say is the going to the judge. That's all it had to say. Going to a judge. So therefore, since it says the word Elohim, that's extra, not necessary. To just say, to just describe what they're doing, it would have been enough to say, you go to the judge, and then the repetition of Elohim would tell you that it's a mumcha and there are two. Right? But therefore, he held to the fact that it's used in the initial case means you can darshan from it too. But Rav Yonasan says no. The first case is just setting the stage, and it's just using the lashon bnei adam. So where does a person want to go? He wants to go to the best judge he can find. It's not for halachic. It's more like lashon bnei adam. Okay, not a machlokas we can really understand any deeper. Okay, but anyway, so this is where the Gemara really starts talking. So now the Gemara says an amazing statement. It says like this. And then up till now, what would you say? Up till now, the Gemara doesn't seem to have a problem intrinsically with Rabbi Yoshia darshaning three judges. It's just like a question. It was up till now, if I would ask you the difference between, and the Gemara even said, maybe it's a machlokas about darshan tchilos. right? So what would that mean if it was a machlokas about darshan tchilos? So you would think it means like this. Rabbi Yoshia darshan tchilos, so he automatically gets three. He's fine, no problem with him. But Rabbi Yonasan is the guy who only has two, and he's stuck because it's violating another rule that we have, so he has to add three. But if he could have gotten three from the psukim, he would have been just as happy. That's what it seems like. It seems like Rabbi Yoshia's drasha worked fine. No problem with him. Problem is Rabbi Yonasan. He comes out with two when we know ain't based in shekel, so it must be he has to add a third. But that seems like the more forced. That seems like the more problematic or difficult way of going. But now the Gemara reverses it, turns it on its head completely. The Gemara says like this. The Rabbi Yoshia lays lay based in Nota? Amazing question. It's an amazing question. Now the Gemara is saying that what? Since Rabbi Yoshia got three judges straight from the Pasuk, that means he doesn't hold you need an uneven basin. Well, what is he talking about? He has an uneven basin.
No, but meaning...
Go ahead.
This is at least what I thought about.
Does he hold? Yeah, okay. Right. Sorry.
Well, by the way, what does a beistin nota mean?
A beistin that can sway to one side
right.
or another.
A beistin that can tilt. It means to say it's like if you had a kli that comes to a point. Right? So it's nota. It can't ever sit straight. It can't ever lie flat. It always has to lean to one side or the other. So if you think of the beistin like an upside down pyramid, so it's a based in nota. Of course, you always have an uneven base. There's always the base is always smaller than the structure on it, right? It's always going to have to tilt one way or the other. That's called a based in nota, like a top. It has to tilt. Can't ever put it down and have it stand straight. Whereas if something is pairs, if it's built on pairs, then it'll always stand straight. Right, so nota means to tilt. So you need a beistin, a tilty beistin. That's what you need. Okay, go ahead.
Hatia.
Right. In order that, in other words, you need a beistin. Rashi is saying, since he needs the pasuk to include the third guy, right, to bring the third one, he needs the pasuk la suye shlishi. You read that very well, Gil.
Thank you.
Right, shlishi is the third guy. Right, you need the pasuk for the third guy. Does that mean he doesn't hold from the idea of a leaning beistin? That you need it to not be even in order to fulfill the tilting after the rove? Go ahead.
Oshisha ksherin.
Right, and then it would come out, according to Rabbi Yoshia, theoretically, it's funny how they argue, theoretically, that if the pasuk would have said four or six, he would have taken it. No, it's because according he says, because if he really held you need a based in nota, then he wouldn't need the pasuk wouldn't need to include a third one according to him. In other words, now it comes out that lechatchila, there's no need. The problem is why do you really need three in the pasuk? It's an amazing thing saying if the Torah. If you hold that there's an intrinsic concept that a beistin cannot be even, and the Torah wants to tell you how many to sit on a beistin, it should only tell you two. That's all it should. And if it tells you three, that implies that you don't need a tilty beistin. That's what it implies. Because why would it have to tell you the third to sit the third guy? You should know that automatically. Right. In other words, if the question is what's the proof? If it would have said four and he would have said four, that would be a good proof, right? If he would have found four dayanim in the pasuk and he would have said okay it's four, then you'd have a proof that he holds ain based in shekel, right? But over here, Lamaskana, they both come down to three. So what's the proof that he holds that you don't need a basin shakal? Right? So the proof is in the drasha. The proof is how specific the Torah is in, and economical the Torah is in giving you the information. It shouldn't, if it wants to give you three, let's put it this way. If there's a rule that Beis Din can only be odd, right, then the Torah only needs to tell you two. I don't know, but does this make sense? That's what we're trying to work on here. Let's put it that way. From the fact that he got there by three times, it implies he wouldn't have gotten there if it would have just said, well, that's true, but I think that diminishes the point. In other words, the implication is, where did he get the third one? From the extra pasuk of Elohim. Without that, he would have stuck with two, right? Mm-hmm. But that's true, but that diminishes the point. It makes it more practical. The point that the Rashi is expressing is that from the standpoint of the Torah teaching you what you need, it shouldn't have to tell you more than two. And you would automatically should know three. The fact that it needs it proves there's no principle of Acher Rabim Lahatos. Right. Okay, so this brings up, I think, Aaron's question now in a fuller manner, in a starker contrast. We now see the question. In other words, Rabbi Yoshia's basin of three doesn't come from any external rules. Right, it comes just from the reference to the dayan three times. Okay, so he gets three, sort of directly. Right, whereas Rabbi Yonason gets three by a combination of two things. He gets three somewhat indirectly. He gets three because the Torah says two judges. Plus, we take that in consideration with our knowledge that you need a tilting based in, and therefore we get three. So is there a difference l'chad l'maskana in the basin of three for Rabbi Yoshia and in the basin of three for Rabbi Yonason? That's the question. So let's go through. So this is the Gemara. The Gemara tries to work it out. Ready? Let's take it up. Let's go through. So first of all, the Gemara goes through just some mechanics, okay?
Who are we?
Rabbi Yoshia lately based in Nota. Right? We're sort of getting ahead. We're sort of getting ahead of the theoretics. We're getting ahead of the facts. The Gemara just wants to prove that it's to say that the Gemara is seeing, is it viable? Is it viable at all for anybody to actually claim that this principle of Ain based in Nota doesn't exist? Okay, so the Gemara says, does Rabbi Yoshia really disavow this rule of Ain based in Nota? Does he really hold you can have an even based in? But we know it's a brisa. The brisa says that, like Rashi says, v'hakra darshinan. We know we definitely darshan the pasuk of Acher Rabim Lahatos to tell us that you need a based in nota, right? Because that's what Rabbi Eliezer Benosh Rabbi Yossi Aglili said. What does it mean, Acher Lintos Acher Rabim Lahatos? Hatorah Amra Asei Lecha based in nota. So that's a drasha. This certainly is a drasha like that, okay. And what? Make a base to nota. Okay, so the Gemara says fine. So it's true. Rabbi Eliezer ben Osh Rabbi Yossi Aglili darshan the pasuk that way. But does that mean everybody has to darshan the pasuk that way? Right? Maybe Rabbi Yoshia holds like Rabbi Yehuda. The Omar Shivim, Rabbi Yehuda held that the Sanhedrin was 70 men. Ditnan Sanhedrin Gedolai, so shall Shivim ve'echad, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shivim. Right? So, Sovar lo Rashi, Rabbi Yoshia, Rabbi Yehuda. Domar Sanhedrin Gedolai, Shivim, Davlu Zugos. So you see, Rabbi Yehuda holds it's possible to constitute a basin with pairs. Right? So what does he do with the pasuk of Acher Rabim Lahatos? Vikra muchi lo lekaman ledrasha achriti. We'll use the pasuk for something else. Later on, we use the pasuk for something else. Okay. So first of all, here's our first crack in the dogma of Acher of Ain based in of Ain based in Shokel. Right. Now we see Achre Rabin Lahatos, Lintos Achre Rabin Lahatos, is not inviolable, right? Even though you have what? Because Rebbe Yehuda holds that you can make the Sanhedrin out of pears. Okay. Let's go a little further. Amar de Shomat Leila Rebbe Yehuda b'Sanhedrin Gedola Dixivi Kroy Bishar Beidina Mishomat Le. Right. Now here's a strange part of the Gemara. Another Gemara says, okay, so it's true that Rebbe Yehuda says the Sanhedrin Gedola can be 70, can be even, but that's because they darshan that Hashem's told Moshe get 70 men, and he darshans that Moshe was not part of it, so that's 70 in total, right? But maybe that's the only one. Maybe any other basin has to be uneven.
According to Rabbi Yehuda.
According to Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, the Gemara is trying to say, I'll show you Ein Basin Shakel is not such an accepted doctrine as you think. Because Rabbi Yehuda says you don't need you can have 70 people on the base on the Sanhedrin Gedola. So you see is a Basin Shakel. So why can't Rabbi Yoshia hold you don't need a Basin Shakel? The whole question of Rabbi Yoshia is, what do you need to tell me the third Dayan is from the Pasuk? Well, what about Ein Basin Shakel? So the Gemara says, okay. So who says Ein Basin Shakel is something everybody has to agree with? I'll show you Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree with it, because he says 70 people on the Sanhedrin. So the Gemara says, not so fast. Maybe that's only by Sanhedrin.
Which
is strange, which is even stranger. You would think that the rule, if it's really a rule of Beis Din,
if you took it to its max point, it should also...
Yeah, the highest level Beis Din should certainly, incorporate the basic laws of Beis Din. It becomes, this is what we got to try to figure out. We got to try to get an idea of what Achre Rabin Lahatos is doing. How is it functioning? How is it possible to say? You want to say it doesn't apply, fine, doesn't apply. But to say it is a rule, and it only doesn't apply by the Sanhedrin HaGadola, that seems like an inconsistent thing. Okay, but that's exactly what the Gemara says.
That's what the previous question is trying to do.
Right. So the Gemara says...
It is machlokas, though. That's not... Rabbi Yehuda is not like the steadfast opinion on it.
It's true, but the Gemara says, so Rabbi Yoshia is also a Tana. Yeah. Maybe he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Right? So then the Gemara says, it's true you proved it to me that Rabbi Yehuda holds you can have a Beis Din Shakel and the Sanhedrin HaGadola. But that's because they were Pesukim. But what about Shar Beis Din, Misha Matle? Have you ever heard anything like that? So maybe you'll say there's no difference if by the 70 it can be even, so by the 3 it can be 2 or 4 or whatever it is. Vatanan smichas the kain rifas egla b'shlosha divrei Shimon Rabbi Yehuda on b'chamisha. I mean, in my time, Rabbi Yehuda v'samchu shnayim ziknei shnayim vein basin shakel mosifin leim od echad rekan hey.
Yeah, how do you get to 5 from there?
So you see that Rabbi Yehuda says you need 5. Why? Because the pasuk says v'samchu, that's plural. So that implies 2. And then it says ziknei ho'ir.
That's also 2.
That's another 2. So you get 4 from the pasuk. And now Rabbi Yehuda says, oh, but a basin can't be even.
Yeah.
A basin can't be even, so there must be 5. So we've proved now that what? No. That Rabbi Yehuda, for some reason,
doesn't apply that rule by 70, but he does everywhere else.
Exactly, right? So that's a problem. So now the Gemara says a funny thing. So he says, okay, so the Rabbi Yoshia adifamid Rabbi Yehuda. So what? So maybe Rabbi Yoshia takes Rabbi Yehuda's idea even further. Once I showed you that it doesn't apply by 70, so it's true Rabbi Yehuda himself is sort of conflicted. Yeah. By 70, he agrees. By 70, he holds it can be even, but by 4, he holds it's got to go to 5, or 2, it's got to go to 3. But look, I showed you a reality to the idea that you don't need a Beis Din that's nota. So maybe Rabbi Yehuda only applied it to the Sanhedrin HaGadola, but maybe Rabbi Yoshi applied it everywhere. Once I showed you that there's a reality to it, so maybe there's a machlokas about how far you apply it. Right? Adifa, Rashi says. Adifa mid Rabbi Yehuda. Kolom Rabbi Yoshua chizek es devar of Yosef mid Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda was the guy who broke the barrier. He broke the shakel, the note barrier. He gave you the idea that you can have a base in the shakel. And that's it. He only did it where the pasuk was. Rabbi Yoshia took it further. Rabbi Yoshia took it further. So then the Gemara says, no, that's not true either. That's not true either. Rabbi Yoshia b'shar beidina nami leislei. V'ilu hai lintos my. Oh, I'm sorry. So then the Gemara says, okay, so maybe that's the case. Maybe Rabbi Yeshua never holds from it. Ve'ela hai lintos my ovidlei. So that's the Gemara says. So if you're going to tell me, in other words, the pasuk exists and it needs to be explained, right? So the standard way of explaining it is aim based in shakel. So Rabbi Yehuda holds 70 can be even, so he'll apply it to what? He'll apply Acharab Mahatos to what? To every other basin. And but if you're going to now tell me that Rabbi Yoshia says any basin can be shakel, so now what does he apply it to? Right? So the Gemara says, Hai lintos my ovidle. You got to do something with the pasuk. Muki la bedine nefashos. Ava bedine mamonis lo. So he'll say, dine nefashos cannot be shakel. Like we said in the beginning, in the Mishnah, you can't have Eda Shofetes ve'eda Matzelas. You can't have 20.
But at the end of the Gemara, he then learns how to call Chomer from
Dina. Oh, hold on one second. Rashi, Bedine, Elohai, Lintos, Mai, Ovidle, Bishlam, Allah, Rabbi Yehuda, Muki, Labashar, Basedin. Right? But for him, he's got nowhere to go with this pasuk. So no, he'll apply it to Dine Nefashos. So now comes out an interesting thing. That what? Shetiskayim bo hatayasecha letova al pi echad kidam rav masnisim. You have to be able to go. In other words, in order to have a majority of two to convict, he doesn't need to make it an uneven basin. On the contrary, an even basin will give you that. Two to convict. Right? 12 to 10. You'll get two to convict. But in order to fulfill the idea of hatayasecha letova al pi echad, then he'll have to have an odd number. V'yavizugos leka hatayah v'pachos mishnayim. So it comes out, that comes out an interesting thing then. Now, just to note right now, in other words, it comes out that what? There's a different idea of a basedin for mamonis and nefashos. Okay. Let's just get all the facts. Can we get all the facts? Right, coin zavim. So let's get all the facts. So the Gemara says, Oval bedine mamonis lo. Ela ha detinan shnayim omrim zakai ve'echad omr chayav zakai. Shnayim omrim chayav ve'echad omr zakai chayav. Name of the Loka Rabbi Yoshia. So now the Gemara finally reveals what the difference between three according to Rabbi Yoshia would be and three according to Rabbi Yonason would be. And what is it? Because I'll ask you, why is this Akasha on Rabbi Yoshia? All it says is, if two judges say he's chayev, if two judges say he's innocent, then he's innocent. And if two judges say he's liable, then he's liable. Right? So all that means is there are three judges. Two are saying one way, you go by the majority. Right? Rabbi Yoshi also says you have a three-person basedin. So why is this a kasha in Rabbi Yoshi? If you'd show me a basedin, well, what's the kasha in Rabbi Yoshi? All they were arguing about was whether you need a third pasuk to add the third dayan, or whether you can go by aim based in shakel to add the third dayan. But the Mishnah has three judges, so why does he say that this is not the Rabbi Yoshia? So that's what Rashi explains, right? Lema delok Rabbi Yoshia. Why? De'ik Rabbi Yoshia. Kevan dishlishi mikroi yolif lehu. V'lav mishum note. Sarach shete das shloshton shove.
I didn't get this Rashi.
Okay, so Rashi says, now I'll explain to you the theoretical difference between 2 + 1 versus 3.
Okay,
it's like this. If the pasuk tells you two judges, and we know you have to add a third because you need a leaning based in, So then that means that the decision of the Basin is two.
Okay. Meaning two can determine the outcome.
Two can determine the outcome. But if I tell you what is a Basin, three judges intrinsically is a Basin. Right?
You can imply from that that it has to be.
What's the decision of the Basin?
It's got to be three judges.
Well, what is the Basin? Now, as if the Basin is really two with a. If the Basin is really two. Now, as the Torah is telling you like this, how many judges really constitute the Gavra of the Basin? Two is enough. But you can't have a Gavra of the Basin that's not going to be able to fulfill the idea of being of tilting. So you have to add the third. But the third you can sort of view as functional, not like intrinsically the goof of the Basin. It's sort of like the essence of the Basin is really two. In other words, if two have an idea, then you can say the Basin. If two come to a decision, you can say this is the decision of the Basin. Right, because the third one is only there so that you don't have the possibility of one against one. But two is really, in a sense, the ikar of the Basin, because the Torah just tells you two is really the Basin. The third is just like a procedural thing. You can't have a situation where you can't get a decision out of this Basin. Right, so three is so that you can always have the Basin come to a decision. How? Because you'll always have two coming to one to agreement, and two is really what you want. Two is really the Basin. Three is there so that you'll always have the entity of Basin proclaiming a decision. You understand? But what's really the entity of the Basin? The two is really like the goof of the Basin. Mm-hmm. You understand? But if I tell you the goof of Basin is three, then they themselves are like three postulates. In other words, the Torah is constructing what a Basin is. So it's saying two, postulating two. That's it. That's the fundamental core of a Basin is two. If I want to say, did the Basin do something? Well, if two did something, then the Basin did something. I only have the third so that I can always have the Basin coming out with a decision. But what is, quote unquote, the Basin? What does the Basin think on this matter? Well, if two Dayanim say something, that is what the Basin thinks. Mm-hmm. You understand? That's the Chefza of Basin. The Hachra of the Basin is the two. But if I say the Basin is an entity composed of three Dayanim, then it makes sense to say you don't have a decision of the Basin unless all three decide one way, because that is the Basin. It's not like Rabbi Yonason. Rabbi Yonason is three so that you always have room to find a two. But the Basin, you could say, is really the Das of the Basin really comes down to the Das of the two. But if I say a Basin is three Dayanim, intrinsically, that's what it is. So if two Dayanim say something, then the Basin didn't speak. The Basin didn't speak. Because three is the smallest unit of... three is the basic Chefza, the basic entity of what the Basin is. It's not like... So it comes out a very... It comes out what? A very different theoretically, it's very different. How do you view the entity of the three according to Rabbi Yonason, according to Rabbi Yoshia? According to Rabbi Yoshia, the entity of the three is one unified body. And unless they're speaking in one voice, they're not speaking. Whereas Rabbi Yonason says the effectively the Basin is two. We just add three so that we'll always have an effective Basin. We really only need two to represent the Das of the Basin. But we just add the third to get it. So therefore, that the Gemara says, now that the Mishnah says the decision can be 2-1, that's against Rabbi Yoshia.
More judges or not.
So what would Rabbi Yoshia hold if you had a 2-1? What would happen? How would you make a decision? It's a good question. It could be he would hold you add 2 until you get a decision of 3.
Right, exactly.
Could be, we don't really know. Of course, a similar thing happens when you have a basin of 23 and they can't come to a decision. Keep adding 2 until you get to 70. But I really don't know. It's not a position that lasts too long. Right. Oh, he's making a good point. Matt's making a good point. In other words, let's say you had the psukim told you 4 dayanim, and then we get to the 5th one through Acher Rav Latos, right? So am I saying that would mean, according to what I'm saying, well, maybe you should need 4-1, because the 4 are the eker of the based, and then the 1 is just to make sure that you'll never have. Right, but that won't work. That won't work, right? No, that's definitely not true. You're right. That's definitely not true. You always only need 3-2. You definitely would only need 3-2. There's no question about that. So you mean I'm overstating it a little bit? Overstating it a little bit. I hear. It's good. It's a good question. No, so it's good. So no, you can't. You still can't say that the judges that you derive from the pasuk are the ikker, right? And the last one is just the grease, so to speak, right? Now, as you got, it's a good point. Now, as you've got to, this is sort of what we're searching for over here, like the description, like the derech halimud versus what it implies. Now, let's say if you had a derech, I was trying to go more in the pure way, that if from the derech halimud you get 2. And then Acher Rav Latos gives you a 3rd, that means the 2 is essential and the 3rd is just functional. But Matt is right. If you had a pasuk like the pasuk over here, I mean, these guys don't make a decision though, the Egla Rufa and the Smichas the Canaan. They're always acting unanimously. But if you had, let's say, 4, and then you say, but you can't have a based in Shokol, so you have to add 1 to be the 5th, that doesn't mean, that definitely would not mean that you'd have to have a 4-1 decision.
You just need Rov.
You definitely only need Rov. So we have to modify a little bit. That Acher Rav Latos tells you two things, essentially, and they're basically obviously closely related. That the function of Beis Din goes by its majority, right? And therefore, what? Now let's start it over. When I have 2, it means I have to have a Beis Din that can always come to a majority. Or I'm saying that must always come to a majority. Right? I have to have a Beis Din that will not stalemate, and I have to have a Beis Din that must come to a majority. How do I have a Beis Din that must come to a majority? An odd number of dayanim, right? But that himself shows you that majority is the rule. But for Rabbi Yoshia, he doesn't have any rule that the Beis Din works by majority at all. He just has 3 dayanim. Now, if you're going to learn Acher Rav Latos, you're learning 2 things that are sort of almost identical, and that is Beis Din must be constructed so that it will always have a majority. Which is not just for an accidental reason. It's because majority is exactly how Beis Din functions, right? But if Rabbi Yoshia doesn't have that rule at all he has is Beis Din is 3. He doesn't have the rule that Beis Din is a body that functions by majority. He just has, this happens to be the number of Beis Din, but Beis Din is, but the decision of Beis Din doesn't go by majority. That's good. So what does the Gemara say about this? The Gemara says a strange thing. The Gemara says, in other words, now we're really happy. I was elated when I read this piece of Gemara. Because now I finally got to the point where there's a difference between Rabbi Yoshi and Rabbi Yonason. Right? But my elation was short-lived. So the Gemara says, nope, it's not a problem. Afilu tamer Rabbi Yoshia, maisi la b'kav v'chomer, midin enough in the fashos. Nope, you can still learn this way. Why? Because he'll learn, it's the kav v'chomer. That ma dinei nefashos techamiri om rachman azil basar ruba dinei mamnas lo koshkin. If dinei nefashos, which is very stringent because you're killing somebody, it's much harder to put somebody to death than just find them chayav. The whole system of dinei nefashos is more trishus hakiris, all different things are more chomer with dinei nefashos. So if dinei nefashos, which are much more stringent setup to begin with, it allows for a mere majority to make a decision, then dinei mamonos, which is less severe, certainly should allow for a majority to make a decision. So now we come out that there's no difference.
How does he know that by dinei nefashos?
How does he know that by dinei nefashos? Because that was the only place he could put his din, his acher amlatos. He had to have some place for acher amlatos.
I thought the problem was he wasn't learning it out.
He wasn't learning it out by mominus. The pasuk by where it says Elohim, 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 that's mominus, right? The pasuk of acher amlatos is not specifically, well, it's what Tosa says, it happens to be in the parsha of, it is in the parsha of Nefashos. So the problem is, so now let's sort of restate what's going on here, okay? In terms of the conclusion. So what have we got? We've got a pasuk of Acher Avin Lahatos, which is in the setting of Mamas, right? Of Nefashos. That's what Rashi says. Tosas. Muki lo b'din Nefashos. Mishum dekro mash b'din Nefashos. Dechsev lo si Acher Avin Lahatos. So Ra'os is mashma davashu ra l'kol. Dainu din Nefashos. Right? But by dinei mamonos, you don't say that. I mean, no decision in dinei mamonos is intrinsically bad because it's always one guy wants something from the other guy. So there's always a winner and a loser. There's always a winner and a loser in mamonos, right? So when it says l'ra'os, that implies nefashos. So we have a pasuk that's definitely talking about, that's at least talking about dinei nefashos, and says you must have a basin that's constructed so that it can tilt. Okay? So what is the machlokas now here? So now it comes out, and everybody agrees at the end of the day that dinei mamonos also has to be a basin that tilts. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Or at least a basin that goes basarov. But it comes out, what's the machlokas? It's a funny machlokas. Everybody else, except for Rabbi Yoshia, basically learns from Acher Avin Lahatos a general principle and based in itself. Whether they're judging on mamonos or nefash, it's a general principle in the very structure of a based in. Okay? That a based in must have a tilt. Okay? Except for the Sanhedrin Agadola, possibly according to Buda. Okay? That's all on one side. Whereas Rabbi Yoshia learns Acher Avin Lahatos, in terms of the Pasuk at least, is directly only speaking about Nefashos. And a Beistin of Mamonos, doesn't have that rule intrinsically. But what? But from the Kal V'chomer we learn to nefash, to mamonos, that it also has to go basar rov. But we don't learn what? We're not really learning about the structure of the basin of mamonos. We get the structure from the pasuk of three times. Now we just know how does that body make a decision from the kal v'chomer of nefashos.
I don't really understand the whole kal v'chomer, what it's really trying to.
But one second, is that point clear?
It seems like there could have been this four by getting
exactly.
Still have a rope.
Exactly. Now, it would have been possible for Rabbi Yoshia to say there are four dayanim, but the decision could be 3-1. You understand? That's inadmissible according to everybody else, because everybody else is learning Acharei Rabin Lahatos is what? Is a din intrinsically in the structure of basin itself. Which sounds great until you keep reminding yourself that Rabbi Yehuda somehow gets away with it by the Sanhedrin Gadol. Okay, so we have to figure that out. But Rabbi Yoshia says, Acher Avin Lahatos is not a din in Beis Din in general. That's halacha by din in the Nefashos. But din in Mamonos, the Beis Din could have been four. The only thing is, we learn a Kal Vachomer about how the body operates from how the din in Nefashos body operates. If by din in Nefashos they can come to a decision of the Beis Din by Rov, then Mamonos can definitely come to a decision of the Beis Din of Rov. Like we were saying before, that if you're going to say the Beis Din is three, so maybe a decision of the Beis Din is only achieved when all three speak in the same voice. Now that we learn from Nefashos. That we can say the Beis Din paskened as long as Rov did it. Okay, but the question is, theoretically speaking, I mean, now we've sort of stripped out all of the, almost all the practicality of the Machlokas. So is there still some, can we still like sort of trace back their theoretical differences? It's true they wound up in the same place, but can we analyze their thought processes in terms of how they view the idea of Achir Rabim as it relates to the Beis Din? Okay, and answer the question of Rabbi Yehuda's Machlokas by the Sanhedrin Agadola. Okay. And I'd also want to throw, huh?
It's a little separate, isn't it?
But if it's a rule in Beis Din, how does he get away with it over there? And I also want to throw in one more thing, and that is, take a look. We started in the Mishnah about 23, right? 23 you get because you have 10 against 10, and then you have to have a majority of one, and then you have to have a majority of two, right? So that gets up to 23. But the Gemara comes down on Yud Zayin Amun Aleph. You got to go through this Gemara. The Gemara talks about how do you ever have a majority of two? Now that we have an odd number, how do we ever have a majority of two by Din Nefashos? And what do you do if, what? Let's say it turns out that for Din Nefashos, how many do you need to convict? You need a majority of two, right? And how many... to convict by Din Nefashos. How many do you need? A majority of two, right? Correct?
Do we have a reason for that, sorry?
Of course, the Mishnah Darshan, we don't, the Hataya L'ra is not like the Hataya L'tova. For good, you only need one. For bad, you need two, right? But let's get these rules, okay? The rules are, if you want to convict, you need a majority of two. And if you want to acquit, you need a majority of one, okay? What if you have a majority of one for conviction? So you don't have either one of the rules. You don't have a majority of two to convict, right? And you don't have a majority of one to acquit. That's also a question. Why is it not exactly one and two?
Okay.
That's what's initially bothering me more. But this question is bothering me also. Okay. Huh? Oh, this question is, what does the Beis Din do, actually, when neither one of the rules are satisfied? I tell you like this. If you want to convict, majority of two. Okay? That means two yay, that means what? It means 13 yays and 10 nays. Right? And if you want to acquit, then you need a majority of one. That means 11 yays and 12 nays. Are you, my yays and nays reversed? No, I'm saying nay is to acquit. Okay. It means don't kill him. That's very nice. That's very nice. But what if it comes out that there are 11 yays and 12 nays? No, that's what I just had.
Right. Yay, like celebration of killing.
What if there are 12 yays and 11 nays? We need the board up here, right?
Or just use the words acquit and convict.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll tell you like this. If 13 say convict and 10 say acquit, he's convicted. If 12 say acquit and 11 say convict, he's acquitted. What if 12 say convict and 11 say acquit? I haven't said that case yet. Right? I don't have a majority of two to convict, and I don't have a majority of one to acquit. So what do I do? Okay? So that's a bothersome question. Yeah. Right.
So.
Right. Right.
Is that a question deriving 23, meaning like why not have 21?
So the Gemara answers both of these questions on Yud Zayin, okay, in the bottom of Yud Zayin. Minayin lehevi od shlosha, okay? And it basically says that you keep adding two until you come to a decision that fits. But the problem is, how do you add, and even when you have one that bows out, right? That's more Matt's question, right? How do you get to a majority of two, the Gemara wants to know. So it says if you have one, because the Mishnah says how do you get to 23? Because you need a majority of two to convict. But now that you have 23, you'll never have a majority of two. You'll either have a majority of three or a majority of one. You'll never get to a majority of two. Right? Gemara doesn't like that. Gemara says that's not good. If the Torah says you should have a majority of two, there has to be a case where there's a majority of two. So the Gemara says how do you have the case where there's a majority of two? Okay. It's where it comes a split decision, 11 to 11, and one guy says, ich weiß nicht. Right? He says, I don't know. You don't have to know. I don't know. So what do you do, 11 against 11?
You add two.
For some reason, you add two.
So you get stuck with the same problem again?
You keep going until you get to 70, to the Sanhedrin Gedolah. And to 71, and then if you can't come to a decision, then the Av Beis Din acquits. But the point is, we have this now. When you have 11 against 11, and one guy says I don't know, he's basically considered to be off the Beis Din. He doesn't have a voice anymore. So now you have an even Beis Din, and what are you adding to? How is that possible? Okay, so we want to answer those questions.